Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my joyful wife and Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford.
Well, you know what they say, happy wife, happy life.
I hear you, brother.
Shalom to you out there as well, and we pray you are blessed by this program as we first ask our Father to show us some favor.
All right, Father, we thank you for your Son who has healed us from our major disease called sin. We highly praise you as we lift up to you, to your throne, these particular prayer requests recently given to us, especially those with rare diseases and all forms of cancer currently afflicting those who are called by your name. We ask for divine protection over our children and grandchildren as we stand firm against the evil one who tries to penetrate their minds with wicked pleasures, drugs, and alcohol. We ask for your favor in our finances, and may our burdens be light. Lord, we recognize that we are nothing without you, but with you we can do all things as we stand on the promises of your word, knowing you are coming soon. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear. Well, we have a little news, although there's a lot of news out there, but we're going to keep it small. First of all, let me mention about the rift between President Trump and Steve Bannon, who makes me very sad because we all thought that that was our president's close confidant. Now Trump says not so much. And, of course, it's due to the latest but inaccurate book called Fire and Fury, or Fury and Fire, I'm not sure. Anyway, Bannon, although silent for almost a week, now says he's been misquoted, and it just isn't true.
Yeah, I heard that President Trump's calling Bannon Sloppy Steve.
Well, honestly, he does often look disheveled. Hopefully it can all be resolved.
Well, Trump doesn't look... Well, never mind, we won't go into there. How about an update on those protests in Iran?
Right. As we discussed last week, it would be a good thing to overthrow this terrorist by proxy regime that uses the people's money to build up Hezbollah and even Hamas so to continue its expansion all the way to the Mediterranean. But protests have been somewhat slowing down lately, mostly due to the Ayatollah shutting down the internet so they can't communicate between cities. However, it appears that now, thanks to the United States and Israel, they have found another way around that through private networks that bypasses normal connections.
So Iran's cyber weapon plot has failed.
Yep. Just slipped out of the grasp of the Ayatollah's regime. So, continued protests are expected, and this was confirmed by the CIA Director Pompeo on Sunday. So we, along with Israel and Saudi Arabia, really are out to remove Iran's current regime, and everybody knows that. Iran's leaders even reached out to Russia and to China for help in this cyber matter, but both countries are remaining silent, which kind of tells us that they would rather not get involved.
You know, Iran's current regime just will not go away quietly.
Well, they won't be quiet, that's for sure, and everybody knows that too.
And what's this about Iran canceling all English classes?
Oh, I know. Because of all this protesting, they said effective immediately, they're going to remove the English classes in all their primary schools because, they say, learning English at an early age just paves the way for the West's cultural invasion.
Well, that's probably true.
I know. High schools, however, will be allowed their English lessons because even the supreme leader realizes that banning English for millions of teenagers armed with smartphones is a mission impossible. But primary schools will focus on Farsi language and the Iranian Persian culture. Oh, and one more item about Iran is that on Saturday, an Iranian ship was bringing its cargo of oil to South Korea when it collided in the China Sea with a Hong Kong ship carrying grain from the United States. Among the crew of 32, only one body was found, and the rest are missing, probably all burned.
Do we know why they collided?
Not yet, but this poses another one of those environmental disasters after, you know, now leaking oil for 3 days, and actually it could explode at any time.
But we have some good news.
Yes, North Korea seems to be coming around. They actually have been talking with South Korea early this morning, and they're going to be sending a few to the Winter Olympics.
So we don't have to worry about them bombing the Olympics.
Right, which really was a great concern for our American athletes.
Okay, moving on to our favorite subject, Israel.
Ah, yes. Israel once again used surface missiles and hit an arms depot in the suburb of none other than Damascus. You know, it's just a matter of time before Damascus is hit, and they'll be hit hard to fulfill Isaiah 17. But meanwhile, the United States continues to work behind the scenes on a peace deal without Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas's input, but rather Saudi Arabia, who can convince Abbas to do as the Arabs tell him.
And he will.
Yes. And Egypt is now encouraging Abbas to make Ramallah its capital, since it is their main hub and headquarters and located in the West Bank, just on the north side of Jerusalem. Now, of course, the compromise will probably be for Israel to make the western division of Jerusalem its capital, leaving East Jerusalem and the Temple Mount area an international parcel, but governed by Rome, the Vatican. And, of course, that's how it was when Jesus was here the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Rome ruled.
Yes, they did.
All roads lead to Rome, huh?
Right. Anyhow, behind the scenes, that has been the UN's agenda since 1933 or before.
93. Yeah, that was 93.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Well, maybe before. Yeah, probably. You see, Jerusalem must go back to that Roman rule again for Daniel 9:27 to be completed, which is why the Jews are returning in droves, as many scriptures said they would. So, the last 7 years of Daniel's 490-year prophecy, well, it's got to be finished. Remember that specific prophecy? Well, it was put on pause for the church age so that it could be birthed and complete. And it is really being completed right now because we are in the Church of Laodicea, and so we're at the end of Revelation.
Yeah, so this, you know, this is another reason that we must leave.
Right. This is a prophecy meant for Daniel's people, Israel. The church was not here for the first 483 years of this prophecy, and we will not be here for the last seven.
Also called Jacob's trouble.
Right, because it's Israel's trouble, which we know is a time of intense judgment, the final and great tribulation just before Jesus returns. This time, as king of all the world, and all Israel shall be saved. Actually, saved during the first half, I believe, of the tribulation as a result of the war of Gog and Magog, when the Lord steps in and wins the war for them. And by the way, you should look these up, Ezekiel 38:23 and Ezekiel 39:22, because it says, then they will know him.
As a foreshadow, many Jews are already getting saved.
Yes, and Muslims too.
Mm-hmm.
And just in time to escape what is coming. And those aren't my words, but Jesus' words in Luke 21:36. So, church, while there is yet time, do the works the Father has asked us to do. Proclaim the good news and don't grow weary. Keep the faith, doing the works of an evangelist.
Yes, okay. You know, you can send your end-time questions by email to Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net or call the office and leave a detailed message of your question to 440-834-9006, and we will call you back. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021, and to help us stay on the air, your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, which automatically puts you on our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning.
Well, thank you, honey. So, last week we listed some of the more remarkable prophetic signs that signal the last 7 years to be heralded in by the last Trump. And we want to add another to that list.
In case they missed last week's program, it's archived on our webpage.
Yes, it is. As we, by the way, in case you missed it, we discussed AI, or what we call artificial intelligence, and how that could be worshipped, and how technology has declared war on Christians and conservatism. We talked about the burdensome stone of Jerusalem and that now common phrase from 1 Thessalonians 5.
Peace and security.
That's right. We talked about the revealing of man's character through the many salacious scandals and the Laodicean church, and how pleasures of the flesh and the cares of this life circumvent one's personal time with Jesus in his word.
That's very dangerous.
And probably the worst thing a Christian can do. But there are a few more worth mentioning, like lawlessness, used by Paul and Jesus, as in Matthew 7:23, when on Judgment Day there will be those who say they are Christians but only have a head knowledge, where Jesus declared to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." You know, as a new believer, I thought that meant they were out robbing banks or something. Let me give you another one. And Jesus said in Matthew 13:41, when referring to the end of the tribulation, he said, "The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness." I'm going to give you a few more, and then I'll speak on it. Also, Matthew 23:28, Jesus said, "Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Jesus again in Matthew 24:12, he said, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." And now it's Paul's turn in Romans 6:19. He said, "I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you," and he's talking about before salvation, "for just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now that they're saved, present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness." And then Paul warns us in 2 Corinthians 6:19, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness?" I'll give you a few more and then we'll talk about it. 2 Thessalonians 2:7, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way." We all know that one. And then in Hebrews 1:9, speaking to the saved, Paul says, "You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions." We do get the oil of gladness. And John, as well, has some words on lawlessness and actually defines it in detail for us to easily understand. And I'm going to 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. He says, "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." Okay, so what am I getting at? There are actually two meanings to the word lawlessness. First of all, it's number 458, anomia, and it means wicked or unrighteous. And as well, when looking at it, Hebrew, the word for law is Torah, and that means the word of God, our Bible. So it matches very well, because if you are not saved, you are unrighteous or wicked in God's eyes, and therefore, if not righteous, you are lawless because you're Torahlessness. In other words, you're not in the Word of God. If you say you are a Christian but never desire His words of love to you, you most likely only have a head knowledge. And God will tell you on that day that He never knew you intimately. Anyhow, let's look at what John said a little more closely as we should, because if you just read it, we as Christians, who still sin, by the way, might get confused by the words, and these are his words. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. Whoa, wait a minute. Knowing that lawlessness is the same as being unrighteous, this might leave you scratching your head and taking on some condemnation, which we know there cannot be to those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8. So here is a classic example of why we must study to show ourselves approved, because there are three different words for sin in the Greek New Testament. First of all, there's number 264, hamartano, which means to wander away, to miss the mark too often that you begin to wander on the road of major backsliding, or possibly already are. It's a definite dangerous place to be. Now, another word for sin is number 265, hamartima, and that means an evil deed. And these are the ones we as Christians, at least most of us, do on a fairly regular basis. But we quickly repent for it, and of course, these are covered under the blood. But then there is another word for sin, and it's number 266, hamartia. Now, this is where you certainly don't want to be and actually can't be if you are truly born again and read his word, because it's operating in the sin nature. It's a pre-born-again state. So you need to know that if the word sin is used in the New Testament, if it's number 266, it's not talking about you after salvation. This is a gold nugget for all believers to know. So each time you read a verse with the word sin in it, you need to look it up in your concordance to see which word it is. It will help you immensely to understand what and why the writer is saying what he says. Now, we will just use the numbers tonight because it's just a little easier to remember. So once again, number 266 is sin before salvation. Number 265 is typical daily sins covered under the blood that we do. And 264, though, is a dangerous place of wandering in the wrong direction. And let me give you an example. Going back to 1 John 3:4, where it says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Well, this word for sin is number 266, and it means the sins committed prior to salvation in the unrighteous state. So he's not talking to you, the righteous. Now, lawlessness makes more sense. We are not lawless when we sin because our sins are now 265, because we are covered under the blood. So it's important to study. Now let's look at another. In 1 John chapter 2, he says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. Well, now that's number 264. He knows we're going to do number 265, but he uses 264 here, which means missing the mark too often, because that's a slippery slope. And he goes on, if anyone sins, again, still 264, on your way to backsliding, we still have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So you can still come back. And how many backsliders are listening to me right now? I was one, and we came back. And then the next verse says, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins. Now, this time, he uses number 266, which is those sins committed prior to salvation, how we used to be. And he goes on, not for ours only, but also for the whole world, because he died for the sins, 266, for the whole world. Now, I realize I'm probably talking fast because I don't have a lot of time, but I'm assuming that you will continue this study yourself. But Paul uses the number 265, but does so in the first part of this next verse in 1 Corinthians 6:18. But then you're going to see that he changes it in the last part, still in the same verse. Now let's examine it. It says, flee fornication. Now, of course, this is sex without marriage. Flee fornication. Every sin, this is 265. This is the wandering sin. They're the more common for some. Anyway, every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits fornication sins against his own body. Let me go over that again. Okay, Paul seldom uses the number 265, but he does so in this first part of 1 Corinthians 6:18. But then we're going to see how he changes it in the second part of the same verse. He says, flee fornication. Every sin, 265, and of course, yes, 265 is the ones that we commonly make. I misspoke before. It gets a little confusing. So every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits fornication sins against his own body. So here Paul uses the number 264 because sexual immorality causes a wandering away, and it does. Now, let's go over this again. Remember, number 266 is for the unsaved. 265 is the common everyday sins that we all commit. And 264 is pushing it to the limit. Beware, because you could go into backsliding. And by the way, this information is going to be in my next newsletter to come out in about a week or so. But I think we have time to look at one more, but I hope that you, again, will continue with your own study on this. Just look in your concordance for all the scriptures with the word sin or sins, plural, and then look at the scriptures and be sure to write the numbers in your Bible next to the word sin. My role as a teacher is just to stir you up to do your own homework, to search the scriptures to see what I am telling you is truth. So be a Berean, Acts 17:11. So let's look at 1 John again, next in chapter 3, verses 5 through 9. And there's a lot to see here, but I'm going to have to go fast. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. This is 266, committed before salvation. And in him there is no sin. Again, 266, because it also means unrighteousness. And there is no unrighteousness in Christ. Verse 6 says, whoever abides in him does not sin. And that is number 264. And that's the wandering away sin. Because let's face it, if you're closely abiding in him, in his word, you're not going to backslide. You have that passion, that love for him. And it goes on and says, whoever sins, number 264, continues, which means continues to wander, has neither seen him nor known him. So what Paul is saying, to really study his word, which is how you abide, then you shouldn't wander because you really never entered into his love of intimate passion. Oh my gosh. So anyway, I'm going to tell you to, when we stop listening to this, go to finish this by reading 7, 8, and 9 and see if you can't figure it out all yourself. But I believe Paul is saying that if you are truly born of God, you will not continue to wander. You'll be back, as in my case. I wandered for a while, but came back with a thunder because I wanted to make up for the time I lost abiding in him. So again, where are you, my friend? Are you abiding or are you wandering in the wrong direction? You know what you must do. And if you're listening out there and have never made the biblical Jesus Lord over your life, he's knocking on your door right now. All right, let me leave you with the ironic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.